Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning, post-Christmas holiday. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Good to be back with you, Alan.
And good to have you here, David. It's always wonderful. And I trust you had a wonderful Christmas.
Absolutely. And I hope all who celebrated did as well, and our listening audience. That doesn't stop the news, Alan.
No.
The spike that we broke for the holiday, we have now have a partial shutdown. I see now the Dow has suffered its worst Christmas Eve losses in history. The president, with Senator Schumer and Pelosi, sat and took responsibility for the shutdown coming. And since, I've seen him make statements that you can call it a Democratic shutdown.
That's what he's saying. Obviously, he has a great deal to account for. He's obviously distressed by the drop in the stock market, and he should be. Of course, he's blaming it on his own people, something he does all the time. He's blaming it on the man he put in charge of the Fed. I don't understand it, but I believe that it's always darkest before the storm. And I do believe that the light is coming and that this man is going to be held to account for the terrible things that he's doing.
In light of the markets, I was reading that it's not just the United States, but the world is seeing an economic slowdown. It's the economy, stupid?
Well, it is, David, and it also in the name of politics. So you ruin a worldwide economy which was floating along. Well, look, this is terrible. The president is doing something we've never heard before. He's saying, well, everybody, get back to the stock market. This is a buying opportunity. Well, he's not the only one who's saying it. And of course, when stocks are low, it's a good time to buy. Nevertheless, he's the guy who created this mess, and he's sticking with it. Rush Limbaugh and a few others on Fox call him out when he had a deal. Instead, he turns around, he panics, and he says he's going to lose his base to himself. And he ends up doing this in the point where he is holding those people who are the most vulnerable responsible. The people who, for example, who are administering the food stamps program or whatever we're calling that now, SNAP, they are decimated, that bureaucracy. So he's doing this with precision. He knows what he's doing. His people are well fed in the White House. I could say something else, but I'm not going to because I'd have telephone calls. And it is just disgusting.
Meantime, all over the wall on the southern border, I was looking at a photo and reading an article in the New York Times. And when you look at that border, there's quite a bit of structure there already.
Well, there is, David. He's got some fence up. Obviously, there are sensors and other things that we can do now that are happening. But it's become a sort of chant that he started when he was talking to those adoring rallies, which are getting more and more suspicious. And over he has been doing this kind of thing. It's not good for the country. It's terrible.
Another headline from the New York Times. Arms sales to Saudis leave U.S. fingerprints on Yemen's carnage. Errant Saudi-led airstrikes have killed more than 4,600 civilians in Yemen. And in Washington, that toll has stoked debate about the pitfalls of America's alliance with Saudi Arabia, which relies, of course, on U.S. support to keep its warplanes in the air.
Ever hear the words military-industrial complex?
Yeah.
It is not only, David, the fact that we're doing this terrible help to the Saudis, which we have heard we're going to change around, but we're doing it in the name of selling stuff to them. The destruction is just becoming plain to the American people. We worry about a child who dies coming over, a migrant, somebody who is a young kid, and another young child, a girl, a boy. But think of all those kids in Yemen who are dying. I'm not saying it's acceptable that the kids who are in the hands of the Border Patrol and of ICE aren't being correctly taken care of. It's a tragedy. But I'm saying multiply that by hundreds, and you know what our bombs are doing.
Well, we referenced the impact of the economy on the election. What about black voters? The black voters are ready to make themselves heard. Another article in the Times today. The first votes of the Democratic presidential primary remain more than a year away, but black voters are keenly aware of the prominent role they will play in choosing the next nominee.
Well, the Times is correct to point it out. The real question is, what will the mobilization look like? Will people come out in the numbers they are to make a difference? Now, in the race for the House of Representatives, turning the House around by more than 40 votes, we know that that has already happened. If that kind of effort can be sustained, I suspect that what we'll see in the Senate elections, turning the Senate blue in the presidential election, will be huge. And once that happens, I suspect that the investigations that are going to be going on about the Trump administration, which he is clearly very worried about in terms of his utterances, he is calling it, of course, a witch hunt. Once those begin, facts are facts. And if I were him, I would understand that really there'll be no hiding.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Good to be back, Alan, and listeners. And now it's back to work.
David, it's good to have you, even in very, very troubling times. And we have to really think of all those people who really are suffering as a result of what one guy in the name of politics does to keep himself ensconced.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.